The title of this is There Is a Way That Seems Right. There is a way that seems right. Now, seems, when we hear that term, we're talking about actually two things. We're talking about what you see. So sometimes you see something happen to somebody and you'll say, you know what, it worked for them, so it'll definitely work for me. But seems also works in a way of how I see it. Unfortunately, the way we see God sometimes is based on how we think God should be, not how he explained he is. Amen. And we tend to fall into the trap of expecting him to be a way that we want him to be instead of following what he said. Now, this is hopefully going to give us insight on why it's so important for us to walk by faith. Now, we say it, you know, a lot of us like to use that term, walk by faith, and the word tells us that, and it makes it very clear, walk by faith, not by sight. And we have to do that. Now, we say it, but do we really do it? Are we really following? Look what he says here concerning Christianity. It says, everyone wanting to be a Christian must consider this. Watch this. In Luke 14, 28-33, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost? Okay, now he's using sense here. He's saying, so now before you would do this, you wouldn't just start building. You want to know how much material is going to cost, how much the labor is going to cost, the time, all of that. You're going to sit down and put all of it together before you do it, correct? It says to see if he has enough money to complete it. For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. Now he uses this example to come back to us in our Christianity. He's saying, okay, now, before you accept this walk that we're supposed to accept, because I think we like to think it's just me saying a few words and I'm there. But he's saying, no, it's so much more than that. I have to make up my mind to do something before I accept it. And that's why he says in verse 33, in the same way, and of you, who any of you who does not give up everything. Everybody say everything. He says, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. He didn't say we'll have a hard time. He says cannot. Now he's not saying he'll stop you from becoming a disciple. He's letting you know it is impossible to be a disciple unless you've given up everything. And you have to understand that. In our Christian walk, we want to bring the stuff we want to bring and get rid of the stuff we don't. We're like, God, can I carry this baggage with me and you still accept me in this way? Now, he's inviting all of us in, but a big part of us is us giving him all of us, giving up everything and giving him all of us. Amen. And we have to walk in his way. So giving up everything, if you don't do that, you cannot be my disciple. Now, he's making this clear to us. So it's something that hopefully before you became a Christian or even during this time, if you're a young Christian or even a Christian who's been a Christian for many years, did you sit back and look and say, did I give up everything in order to follow him? That's why it's so important for us to realize how it seems is so different than how it is. I think in many cases, we don't really read this verse when it comes to becoming a Christian. We just say these words, now you're a Christian. And you have a lot of people that have changed nothing. There's nothing in their life that's readjusted. Have they really accepted Christ? That's a good question. A major mistake of Christians is making Christianity what they think it should be and not accepting it for what it is. Look what it says here. We are given clear instruction on how to live. Clear instruction. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. Not only does it clearly tell us what we live by, it clearly tells us what not to live by. I mean, as straightforward as that is, it should be clear to each and every one of us. Unfortunately, once again, if we really evaluate or look at ourselves, we realize that we are all still living by a lot of sight. Maybe some faith, but a lot of sight. Correct? You know what I mean? And the way we know this is because you get faith from the Word. Faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. Now, we're checking for the Word, and if you really have faith or are going after faith, you'd be searching for faith and following what God's Word is saying instead of going after what you think, what you feel, how you see it. Amen? And you have many Christians that are still living how they see it. They're living based on what they think God should do, not what God says. That's not faith. But a Christian lives by faith. We'll talk about this some more. Also, we tend to get led astray based on how we think it should be. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." The danger in this is you won't see the problem until when? Until the end. Y'all see this? He said, there's a way that seems right. So you're going on the way, and at the moment, it seems right. There's nothing wrong with this. It's going well. It's falling into place. And then the end, you find out, wait a minute, I was going the wrong way all this time. Now, it's not because God misled you, because if you were going the way, walking by faith, you would have checked with him, which way do I go? Right? The Bible would say, do this, follow this, do it this way. And that's what you would have done. But when you go, I know the Bible says this, but, right? And you start doing it your own way, it may seem like it's working. Y'all get that? It may seem like it's falling in place. In fact, it may even seem like God is blessing it. Well, all the more, you're going the wrong way. But it's not until the end that you find out it leads to death. Now, understand this. Our senses will give us the wrong outlook. Will give us the wrong outlook. Here's a couple of examples. First of all, it seems people will be put in the position they appear best fit for. So in other words, to us, we think if people work hard and they do everything they're supposed to, they're going to be put in the right position all the time. Correct? In other words, we always get the perfect person for the job. Right? But look what the Bible says. The Bible reveals in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, I have seen something else under the sun. Watch this. The race is not for the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happens to them all. He's saying if you really take a look in the world, you'll realize when a person may have all the tools needed to get through a situation, that situation doesn't always come to him. Right? There may be some people who are prepared for something, and that's something they may never confront, while this person over here may be the one dealing with it. And they're like, why am I going through this? Right? Because in our minds, it was made for this person, so why am I going through it? But once again, that's in our minds. That's not what God said. That's based on how we see it and how we think it should work out. He shows us, again, that it seems, and this is from us, people will get what they deserve in the world. So in this world today, we think, man, somebody does wrong, he's going to get wrong. Somebody does good, he's going to get good. It's all going to work its way out now, right? It's all going to fall into place. The Bible reveals in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 14, there is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. He says, righteous men who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked man who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. God is acknowledging, oh yeah, this is happening. He's saying there's some people who are getting punished and they don't deserve it. There's some people who are getting rewarded who don't deserve it also. Now, God explains this later, but for the time we're living now, this is why we struggle. Sometimes we're like, but God, I did everything you told me. I'm trying. I'm working. Why is this happening to me? While you have somebody who's barely doing what they're supposed to, and they're like, I'm favored. Look at all this happening to me, and I'm blessed, and you're just struggling. By sight, you would struggle. By sight, you would watch that, and a lot of people end up leaving. Look at another one. It seems that if I have a righteous life, I'll have a problem-free life. That's what a lot of people think. You know what? If I just do exactly what the Bible says, I'll have a problem-free life. Let's see what the Bible really says. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 12. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by the evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. This is all by sight. We suffer when we walk by sight, when we prepare by how I think it should work out. I told you when I counsel people, and the first thing they say when I tell them, well, if you try this and you know, based on the Bible, if you work this out, especially to those who are married, the one statement they'll make to me is, but I shouldn't have to do that. That's why they won't do it, is they'll say, but I shouldn't have to. In their minds, they should know this. The other person should know this. Why should I have to say this? In other words, they're saying the way it seems to me. Why aren't they reacting the way it seems to me? Instead of us just doing what God says. It would be that easy. Understand that our faith is what keeps us firm in God. Okay? So this is why we have to stay away from sight and totally depend on faith. It shows us that by faith, I know as a Christian, whatever I go through is for a good purpose. This verse has so much meaning to it. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, we know that. This is a faith statement right there. Every Christian should know this. Whatever you go through, it says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. King James says, all things work together for the good of those who love him. So all things are working. So you're going to go through a tough time, going to go through a good time, going to go through whatever times, but you know they're working for your good, for those who are living in his love, who are living loving him. Does that make sense? It says, who are called, who have been called according to his purpose. So no matter what I go through, it will never discourage or encourage me. My encouragement comes from him, knowing that what this is going through, what I'm dealing with, this is my benefit. But that's by faith. By sight, I'm going, God, why are you putting me through this? How many of you have gone through something and said, I don't get it. I'm struggling. I don't see how this is working. By faith, yep, he said this is working for me. Do you see the difference? Because he told me it's working for me. I don't see it. But it's not what I see. It's what he says. That's faith. Do y'all get this? Our sight gets in the way. I've been there many times where I've gone through things. I'm like, God, come on. Why is this happening? Then I have to come back to you. Okay. It's for my good. I don't see it. Amen. But it's not for me to see. It's for me to rely and trust upon him. Understand by faith that I follow God's instruction to prepare and protect me for the evil times to come. In other words, he already said, like we've seen in Ecclesiastes, that it says evil times fall upon us unexpectedly. But now by faith, it prepares me for these terrible times. Ephesians 6 verse 13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God. Now stop there for a minute, because by faith, I would have read and have done this. See, a lot of us, while we're in the storm, we're busy trying to put on this armor. Well, wait, hold on for a second. I'm trying to throw this on. That's not how it works. See, faith would have made me prepared for the things that are to come. Right? You don't hurry up and try to put on the roof while it's raining, do you? Right? You already have the roof on your house to protect you from the rain. Correct? So when he gives you instruction, it's to prepare you for. That's faith. When I do things ahead of time, based on what he says, it's not based on what I see. See, based on what I see, I'm saying, it looks sunny. The weatherman said it was good. I don't see a problem. We can wait. By faith, I'm like, we need to get on this roof now. Do y'all understand this? He told me I need to do it, so I need to do it. By sight, you know what? I don't have to do the whole thing. I'll just do part of it. You know what? I'll just put on the helmet and maybe put on the shoes. Everything else is kind of heavy. I'm not going to. By faith, I'm putting on the full armor of God. But then he tells me why. Put on the full armor of God so that when, everybody say when, the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Let me reverse that. So if you don't have it on, guess what's going to happen? Oh, yeah. Do y'all get that? Amen. All right. You will not be able to stand because you didn't follow his instruction. And then you're sitting there blaming God. Why is this happening to me? Why am I struggling? Why does it hurt so bad? Because you didn't have faith. You walk by sight. And after you have done everything to stand. So how do we do this? How can we truly stay on the right path? How can we be on that path to follow him? First of all, stop trying to hold God to your understanding. Very important. I'm telling you right now, and I think all of us have been here and are here. And what you have a plan in your mind, there's stuff you're doing or stuff you plan on doing. But then when you go and read God's word, it doesn't fall in line with his word. Now you have a choice. Either you readjust to what he says, that's the right way, or you keep doing what you're doing and hope it works out. Go back to the first one where it says, in the end, it'll lead to death. It may seem like, but this sin is so right and it's falling into place. Isn't this okay, God? Well, he already gave you the answer. It says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, watch this. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I remember being younger, and either my grandmother or my parents would tell me something. And at the time, in my mind, I'm going, are they crazy? But I want to do this. Don't they understand? They're telling me, no, I can't get it. No matter what they told me, I was struggling with it. Then I grew up and I became a parent. And I watched my kids look at me saying, is he crazy? I just want to do this, but I don't want to be like, you see the problem here? At the time, thoughts just were not the same. And it wasn't for me to explain it to them. It was, well, that's what I said. Right? Because I told you so. My grandmother was good at that. And I'm glad she was, because it taught me just to do what she said. See, we try to understand God by bringing him down to the way we think. Right? We're lowering his standards. Think the way I'm thinking, God. Do what I tell you to do, and it'll all work out. That's like you following your child. If you let me not eat dinner and just have a whole thing of candy, I would have eaten something, and we'll all be good. Right? How many of you, if you followed your children, just did what they said and ignored what you already knew? Even in a stronger sense, God gives us guidance. We can't see it, so we just trust him. Does that make sense? So I go to his word. He tells me to do something. And as Jesus says, I do exactly what my Father tells me. Y'all see how that works? Okay? So don't try to think of God or think have him think your way. Okay? That's low thinking. You can't think the same way he thinks. Also, to be a Christian, we trust in God. Why? Because he's God. See, here's the problem. By sight, a lot of people will trust in God if I've seen him do something. Right? I seen him do this for sister so and such, so now I trust in him. Is that faith? No. And is that truly trusting him for the right reason? Because you're going to see him do some things you disagree with. Does that mean you stop trusting in him? And many do. Many stop trusting in God because of what they see. But when I trust in him because he's God, even when I see things seem like they're failing, I glorify him. Isn't that what Job did? Alright, once again, Job did not have what we have, the story of Job. He couldn't go back to the story of Job and say, well, this is what happened. He knew he was doing everything that the word told him to do, and he watched his whole world crash around. It made no sense. But Job wasn't walking by sense. Job was walking by faith. His only argument to God was, help me, what did I do wrong? Right? That was his main thing. He kept going to God and putting that out there. Romans 9, verse 16 says, it does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Think about what that's saying for a minute. I know sometimes we think God is sitting there going, so Keith, what do you want? First of all, God is not Santa Claus. Okay? So make sure everybody understands that. So he's not sitting there going, Keith, what do you want? And Keith, you work so hard, so this is what I'm going to do. It's never based on that. He's saying it's not based on that. What is it based on? His mercy. The only thing that is giving us life is his mercy. Because what we deserve is death. Right? We deserve death. That's why it's mercy first. His mercy was, okay, I'm going to do this not because of anything you did. I'm going to do this out of my love and my mercy. Amen? Okay? So he gives us his mercy. So he says everything he does is based on his mercy, not on what you want. It might work that way sometimes, but a lot of times it will not. Not based on what you have done. Does everybody get this? Okay? So he's letting you understand this, that it's not based on those things. It's based on his mercy. So you don't always get his mercy. You don't always understand his mercy. So once again, you must trust him. Also in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it gives us a warning of what to do and what not to do. He says, trust in the Lord with all, everybody say all, your heart. All includes what? Everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. Lean not. One thing I said, it was a turning point in my life when I really got this verse. It was knowing the reason why I struggled is because I was trying to understand God based on me. So I wasn't going to do it, God, until I got it, until it made sense to me. And so I realized that's what was getting in the way, me, right? He told me to lean not upon my own understanding. See, because I would have gone, God, this is the way I would have done it, right? But when you trust in him with all, you go to him and say, tell me exactly what you want me to do. A lot of times what he's going to tell you to do, you're not going to like. But it's the right answer. He is the way, the truth, the life. Keyword being the, right? Didn't say he's a way, a truth. No, he's not some choice you can pick from. He is the only answer, the only door you can go through, right? So if he gives me an answer, doesn't matter if I like it or not, it's the right answer. Amen? Even though my understanding says, but why don't you try this? Won't this work? He said, this is the answer. This is how it works. I work on computers and work on systems. There was a server we had to put together. And in putting it together, we had this other guy in there. And he was brilliant. I have to give it to him. But the vendor said, when you put this together, whatever you do, don't add. And I'm not going to get technical. There was something we were not to add. But he said, it makes no sense to me. I'm going to add. So he did. We spent a couple other hours fixing it. It came up. Everything worked perfectly. 2 weeks later, it crashed. Miserably. I mean, it was bad. We lost a lot of stuff. And later on, when we got the vendor in, we got everybody in, he said, did you happen to add? And we're all sitting there looking stupid. Because he did. The guy was like, but it made no sense. He was like, I hear what you're saying, but we told you. Do y'all get this? We told you not to add this. And I get it. That's why we told you not, because we knew you were going to think to add it. God, in the same way, his word will clearly tell us certain things not to do, knowing that we would do it. Do you get this? Trust in him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, there's that word all again, acknowledge him. You check with him on everything you do. Everything. It says acknowledge him in all your ways. You got it this morning? You check with him on what you're wearing. Check with him on doing your hair while brushing your teeth. What you're watching. The way you took the word. Pastor, that's too much. Didn't it just say all? Right? What, don't get mad at the pastor. I'm just a messenger. Do you understand? He says, acknowledge him in all. Check with him on everything. All the time. If you do this, he lets us know, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. By sight, I think I'm going straight. By faith, he makes sure I am. Amen? I told you I'm from Pittsburgh, so I told you in two different places. I lived in Philly, but I'm from Pittsburgh, and one thing about Philly, everything's parallel. So if you went through the road over and you go straight, you're still going, you know, north to south or east to west, and you're following that lane, and you'll get to the same spot. Okay? And it's almost perfect in every area in Philadelphia. Pittsburgh, it looks like the roads are parallel. You understand? But one's slightly going this way. So you think you're parallel going this way, and now you're going that way, and you're lost. And you're like, where am I? It's before GPS and all the other things. You just had a map, and you open it up and say, oh, we're going the wrong way. And it was something that it seemed like I was going in the same way. Right? And this is what we do in life. We do things and it seems like I'm going in the right path. I'm following the right thing. But I didn't check with him. Let's say he was the map. If I was going to the map would say, Keith, get back on that road. There might be a traffic jam, but get back on that road. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Check with him with everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. True straightness is only going to depend on him. You'll never see it. I can tell you this right now. You will not see it. I know you think you have it all figured out. God's letting you know. No, we're going the right way. And I think a lot of us have that. I think we have life all figured out. I bet you think in your prayers, God, if you just gave me this, this, and this, we'd be good. God's going, no. He didn't ask you what you need for your path to go straight. He wants you to check with him to see how to make your path go straight. Acknowledge him, and he will give you that way. Then we have to make up our minds to only follow the way. Only follow the way. Look at this command. He starts it off with the command. He says in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, enter through the narrow gate. Then he gives us the reason why. He says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Now think about that, because this is the way a lot of us are going. We have entered a way that I think I still have God, plus I get all the other stuff I want. Right? If you look, Christianity today has turned into this, do what you want and still go to heaven. Right? It's going to work out. Don't worry. Just follow your heart. Do everything you want. Do it the way you want. Totally ignore God. And he's letting you know that's the broad way. Why? Because it's variety. It gives me everything. Man, I have it all. Right? But he's saying what it leads to. Remember, in the end. Right? In the end, it leads to death. You don't realize it, but you're going on this path and you just think you have everything going for you. And I'm calling myself a Christian, but I'm still living a life doing this and still following this. And man, this is great, isn't it? And in the end, destruction. He gave you the answer. He says, many enter through it. But watch this. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. No, there's not a lot of variety in there. There are some definite answers in there. There's some exact paths in there. There are some things, there are some yeses and some nos in there. And no, it doesn't always fit what you want. Yes, you got to give up a lot of what you desire. But it's the perfect way to lead you to true life. He says, and only few find it. Not because it's hard to find, just because of all the things I just said. We live in a I want my cake and eat it too mentality. So the way it seems is, why can't I have my cake and eat it too? Why can't I do everything that I want, that it feels good to me, looks good to me, but still have what God gives? Because it has nothing to do with what you think. It has everything to do with his mercy. Finally, truly live by faith. Our calling card, the one thing that's going to show those who belong to him, is what we're truly walking by. He says in Hebrews 10, 38 through 39, but my righteous ones will live by faith. He didn't say we'll have a little bit of faith. He says my righteous ones will live by faith. He'll come back and your life will display faith. That's how you'll live. It'll be described by faith. It won't be I did some things here and there that looked faithful. No, it'll be my entire life. Everything I do is walking, living by faith. Watch this. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. I know in many cases, especially in our world today, and as it says in 2 Timothy 3, and he calls this terrible times, when we're so locked into self and we're so looking at what we want, please be careful that you don't see your way into destruction. Amen? All right.